Welcome back, and thank you for listening to episode whatever it is. I have lost count somewhere in the 280s of the Level Change podcast. I'm Steffi Haynes, and I'm joined as always. He's my co-host. He's my brother. He's family. Victor Rodriguez. Vic, we're going to look at some headlines. We're not going to pick any fights because it's a dog shit card. You know, I mean, this is just coming off UFC 299 to this card is just absurd. But anyways, how the hell are you?
I think I'm good. Anything eventful happen lately?
Something is pulling at the corners of my mind. It'll probably come to me a little later.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, let's say that I'm doing okay. I got the boy in some swimming lessons. He's doing pretty well with that. Home life is much more harmonious. Snip Watch. Yeah, that's right, fellas. Snip Watch. You're listening. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I am finally getting a consultation for my upcoming vasectomy, which I bring up not because I care for you all to have all of the understanding and goings on as it relates to my penis. However, it is beautiful. And two, largely, I really wanted to kind of put this out there to raise a bit of awareness and kind of do my little part in breaking away with some of the stigma and some of the myths that surround the entire process. So if you already got kids and you're not thinking of having any more, listen, guys, it's not that big a deal. Go ahead and take the plunge. I'm already on board and I'm looking forward to that as well. So, hey, positivity.
Okay, you're the first person I've ever heard say I'm looking forward to my vasectomy.
I am. I am. And listen, I say this, I already have a son. And let me tell you something. I am so blessed. I have the best boy in the world. Absolutely bar none. I will have him fist fight any child on this earth. He might not win, but he's mine. All right. My heart is full. My cup runneth over. I'm good. What am I going to wait until I'm 60 to start getting this stuff done? I might as well get it now that my body can heal properly and all that and not be, you know, doing all this other goofy stuff later. Like, oh, wow, you got a girl pregnant at 58. Like, dude, do I want to be that guy? No, I'm great. Let's just, you know, let's just take care of this matter now. And I think it's great.
We'll just call you Baby Hef.
I don't get the reference, but sure, let's do that.
Hefner. Hugh Hefner. Oh, okay. Having children.
Well, no, I mean, I
well
got that
part.
I'm like, did he get his or what's up?
No, when you were saying I'm good, my cup runneth over.
Oh, I see.
You know, well, I was just saying. You know. Anyways, we gotta get back on track here. Let's talk first about UFC 299. And the first thing I wanna say is what a good card it was. Because it was. It was a great card.
Yes.
It was stacked going in. I mean, there were a lot of wonderful fights on the card. There were 7 ranked fights. There were 16 ranked fighters. It was a beautiful card. Only 10 of them were coming off a loss. Only 8 of them came from the Contender Series. And only 2 came from Tough. There were 2 debuts, one being Michael Venom Page. The other one was Robelie Despain. I think that's how you say his name.
Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, those were 2 anticipated debuts as well. So we had this incredibly stacked card. And then everybody wants to attribute that incredibly stacked card only to Sean O'Malley for having a $13 million gate. But listen, Sean O'Malley, they stacked the card underneath him for a reason. Let's not forget that Aljamain Sterling came out after UFC 292, where he lost his belt to Sean O'Malley, and said that the numbers were awful. And it was in response. It wasn't like he just came out sour grapes. What had happened was Eric Albarracin, who is Henry Cejudo's coach, sometimes coach, who the fuck knows these days, came out and said, insinuated that the fight with Aljo and Sean O'Malley had sold almost 1 million pay-per-views. And Aljo immediately corrected him. He said, "Are you drinking?" That's what he asked him. "Are you drinking? Are you drunk right now?" Because I was told that we hadn't even busted 250,000. That was the first tier, and that they had not broken it. So then you have to weigh in. 40 plus Ecuadorian journalists come over. I'm pretty sure they didn't come to see Sean. And this huge section of fans came from Ecuador over to see not Sean O'Malley. I'm not saying Sean O'Malley isn't a draw. I'm saying that to attribute all of UFC 299's success to Sean O'Malley is patently wrong. And that is kind of the narrative that the UFC has been trying to paint. Let's not forget, Dustin Poirier was the co-main event. We had an anticipated debut in Michael Venom Page. We had an anticipated debut in Robelis de Spain.
Yeah, it's fine. You got it.
We had a lot of really good fights on that card. So to go out and punch the narrative that it was all because of Sean O'Malley. I tried to combine Sean O'Malley and Hannity. So Sean O'Malley.
That'll work.
It wasn't just him. Did he contribute? Of course he did. But it was not just because of him. It was likely because it was a very stacked card. It was in Florida. And anytime a card is in Florida, who always shows up? Fucking Donald Trump. It was almost a given that he was going to show up. As a matter of fact, if you want a fun factoid here, in the last five pay-per-view events, Donald Trump has been at three of them. Who the hell thought that a pay-per-view taking place in Florida wouldn't be attended by Donald Trump?
Yeah, you know what's funny, though? I got some heat over that over the weekend because I posted the whole, keep politics out of sports. And let me tell you something. This is moths to a flame. You can almost time it. His defenders come in right away. Oh, well, he didn't say a single thing about politics. Yeah, because he has to say it, right? Because this is where the goalposts are. You just got to keep moving them and everything's fine. You know, like when he did that interview with Jim Norton and Matt Serra for the official UFC podcast, mm-hmm. which I, for some reason, never realized until Sam Kaplan said it. It was essentially trying to capitalize on the fighter and the kid, which is another conversation we need to have down the line. But the point is, he had him on the show. And again, I said the same exact thing. And everyone's, they didn't say a single word about politics. Right. You see, this is why the okey-doke works on these fucking idiots. Because of stuff like this. Does he need to say anything political for this to be a political gesture? We know what it is. They have this whole grand entrance. He got more camera time in his entrance than most of the fighters. And then between fights and even between rounds, they're going back to him as if you were someone who had no knowledge of MMA or Trump or anything. If you had been in a coma since 1972 and you woke up and you saw that broadcast, you would think that he runs that company. You would think he's the guy in charge, that he's the president of the organization. He's some kind of emperor that they're fighting for. Nobody else's amusement but his. And that's just really, really weird to the level that it's gotten to.
Indeed. Indeed. I keep waiting for him to put the thumbs down.
Yeah, well, you know.
Anywho, now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's talk about Sean's brilliant performance because, wow, he just couldn't do anything wrong in that fight, really. And it wasn't so much that Cheeto was doing anything to give him anything to work with because he wasn't. It was Sean just being, wow. I mean, he has progressed leaps and bounds, it looks like. Every fight, he looks sharper and crisper. And I am of the firm belief that Cheeto was probably the toughest guy he's faced so far because he normally can get somebody out of there. you know, by the third round or whatever. Cheeto wasn't going anywhere. He hung in there all five rounds. He never touched the canvas. Cheeto was just a really tough guy, but Sean made dismantling him look easy. His footwork was on point.
Mm-hmm.
His entries, his exits, his body work was by far my favorite thing. Y'all know, I love me some body work. It's my favorite thing. And he was punishing the body routinely. That's important. I firmly believe if you're a good striker, you always exercise good body work. You pay attention to the body. You're not a headhunter. For a while there, Sean was a headhunter. He has realized the beauty and the effectiveness, the efficacy of body work. And I love that. Victor, yes. What did you see?
I saw that as well. And you know, it's funny because Cheeto wasn't, he started to have some more success the more he kind of barged in, mm-hmm. but he was still getting hit,
mm-hmm.
you know, like he was landing some better shots at that point, but he just kept in the more ranged exchanges. He kept coming up a day late and a dollar short. And that really became a problem. Then he started going to the body a little more, and that was, he had some really great exchanges there, but no, it wasn't going to be enough. And I mean, that's fine. You know what I mean? It showed the growth that O'Malley had experienced and the gulf that now exists between them. And it's not even like Vera did anything that was egregiously bad, right? I mean, the game plan, I can kind of see where, you know, I guess it makes sense. I see what they were going for. I see what they were trying to do. Just wasn't working. And that's going to happen sometimes, you know, maybe they'll have a third fight. Who knows? It's going to probably be a while, and it's going to take Marlon a good amount of time to, you know, work his way back into that particular slot. But I could see it happening.
See, here's my problem with Marlon. He takes too goddamn long to get going. He took until the latter part of the third round to even get going. And that's a problem. I don't think Marlon ever sniffs a title shot again, and certainly not against Sean. I don't think they ever have the trilogy fight. There's no reason. The way that he got absolutely worked, man, I don't need to see a third fight. Marlon has nothing for him. Marlon went in there, and that's something else that I want to draw attention to. There are some people out there that still think that Sean O'Malley is brittle, is fragile. He's not. He has proven time and again, going all the way back to the Piotr Jan fight further. But that fight stands out to me because he took some heavy shots from Piotr and he walked right through him. Never went down, continued throwing. And if you watch that fight a second time, you can kind of see why the judges gave it to him. Even though I feel like even after watching that fight three different times, I felt every single time that Jan won it, but I could see an argument for Sean winning it.
Mm.
Sean has increased his durability tenfold. I mean, he can be called durable and you don't have to hide your face when you say it. That guy ate a bunch of shit from Cheeto in the end there, when Cheeto would actually go in the few times that he actually waded in there and started throwing and kicking and everything, he ate him just fine. He ate whatever Aljamain was throwing at him. I mean, he's durable. Just get used to that. He's durable.
Well, he just got that. He got that rep because of some of the earlier injuries that he suffered.
Two. You know, he had
which,
that
I mean,
injury.
You know, it's
Cheeto.
Not really fair. Like, how long are you going to keep hanging that over his head?
Exactly. It's been so many years. You know, the Cheeto fight was early 2020, and the fight before where he had the ankle injury was like 2 years before that. So y'all got to let go of that brittle Sean O'Malley thing, because he's not brittle. And y'all also got to let go of that Sean O'Malley is the second coming of pay-per-view Christ, because he ain't that either.
Mm.
He might get there at some point, but not if he runs into Mehrab Dvalishvili first.
Well, I mean, it might, you know, here's the thing. It might not be, I don't think that if he were to suffer a loss, True. Against Marab, which I would hope would be his next title defense, because good God, who else would it be?
Well, he's calling for Ilya. He's begging for Ilya.
Yeah, but Ilya's not fond of that either.
Ilya would go in there. Yeah, but if they made that fight and get, you know, sweeten the pot just right, Ilya would absolutely go in there and kick a mud hole in him.
Well, let's assume that that's not what ends up happening, right? Let's assume that he does end up fighting Marab, mm-hmm. and he loses. He still has some level of outside appeal, not too much, but he does have that bit of notoriety outside the sport, that, you know, that visibility rather, that may help him, you know, still maintain some level of interest and marketability. So I don't think it's going to be like a total collapse unless he just goes off and slides to five losses like Dan Hardy did.
Yeah.
You know, that's where things are going to be like, all right, now you're hurting your bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, Sean looked fantastic in that fight. Now let's get to Dustin Poirier. Ooh, I should have just started with Dustin. Dustin, if you're listening, which I know you're not, but just on the off chance someone clips this and sends it your way, I am your biggest fan. I know everybody else tells you they're your biggest fan, but I am truly your biggest fan. And you cannot put my ulcers, my weak kidneys, and my faulty heart, you cannot put them up there like they don't matter and keep going for those guillotines, because you're going to give me palpitations, an anxiety attack, possibly a heart attack, going to make my kidneys fail, my liver fail. Something is bad is going to happen the next time you jump a ghillie. So don't, please. Thank you. And I'm so happy you won, because I picked you despite that you were a heavy, heavy underdog, because I will never not pick you. If you fight Godzilla, I'm picking you. And I'm so happy you won. Just please, 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 no more ghillies until at least you have rearranged the senses a little bit with that right hook. Not before. Victor.
Let him have him. Let him have fun. The guy knows what he's doing. Let him do it. I don't care. Let him jump for, you know, let him try to break the record for most, like, attempted and failed. I don't give a shit. The guy's still pulling in that. The man is making magic regardless.
Yep.
You understand? I'm not going to sit here and criticize that at this point. If it were any other set of circumstances, if that had cost him the fight, fine. You know what? Today, I'm not doing that.
That's not a criticism. That's a plea. Well, please, yeah. Please, Dustin.
Yeah.
Clean them clocks first. Mm. All right. So that's enough talk about... Well, you know what? Let's go back. I do want to talk about one other fight. I want to talk about MVP and Kevin Holland. One, Kevin Holland, why did you fight like an idiot? Two, MVP, you got to bring more to the table than you brought, because I was nodding off in that fight. Now, I realize Kevin Holland contributed heavily to that, but also watching MVP like literally skirt around the ring, I mean, around the cage, just skirt the outer edges and do very little, but avoid, man, I don't like that. I had enough of that in Bellator. Victor?
It was fine, I guess. It was a smart performance.
Yeah.
It was not, you know, here's my thing. I would have expected, or I would have hoped that they would have had like Michelle Pereira versus Michael Page, immediately scratched that off the list. But it seems that with the kind of money that Page would likely command, you know, he's probably not going to be a cheap date. I assume he's probably like Michael Chandler, taking a bit of a pay cut just to be in the UFC. But at the same time, you know, when these things happen, you know what that also means. It implies that you're going to be fighting more higher ranked guys. And Kevin Holland was there, and, you know, there was a potential for a very exciting matchup. But that's never a guarantee. There's never any promise as to whether or not it's going to be straight fire. I mean, you know, there's you can have a very good rough estimate, but this wasn't it, man. This just and that's fine. Look, he got the win. He looked fairly impressive. He was not dismantled the way that he had been in other situations. And I, you know what? Good for him.
I did like Jack Della Maddalena versus Gilbert Burns. That was a pretty good fight. I loved Della Maddalena's call out of Shavkat, but let me tell you, I feel like Shavkat takes that fight. I would certainly
favor him, but I do think Jack has a chance.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. But if I were to throw my dart right now, it's got to be with Shavkat. Also, Piotr Jan's fight with Song Yadong was really, really good. You know what? Song started so strong and he went out with a fizzle. And man, I wanted Song to win. I like Piotr too, but I've been a fan of Song's for a long time. Curtis Blaydes, woo, putting it on Jailton Almeida. I love that fight.
Mm.
Macy Barber looks damn good. Have you noticed that?
Does she?
She does.
She looked okay. I wasn't overly impressed. I don't know why. I've expected perhaps more growth and more improvement from her. And I don't know, man. She looked okay, but
she was number 11 and took on number 4.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Good for her. Whatever. I'm not.
I'll tell you which fight I did not like: Mateus Gamrot and Rafael Dos Anjos. That was a terrible fight.
I had a suspicion that was going to be a pretty
awful, awful.
Well, guys cancel each other out all the time, man. That's going to happen. That's the game.
Michelle Pajeda. Wow. He looks fantastic at 185.
He does.
And that fight with Mikhail Oleksiychuk. I love saying that name, Oleksiychuk. That was a pretty good submission. So I don't mind. I don't mind him at 185. I think he's rejuvenating the division. Also, Robeli Despain's knockout of Josh Parisium was nice. I like having fresh talent at heavyweight.
Yeah, I mean, but that was also what was supposed to happen. I mean, Parisian has not looked good at all. And not only that, but you look at the fact that Robelis was brought in, you know, with an opponent to Stylon in Miami. Like, okay, fine. He did it. He passed the test. He got the job done very quick. Did we learn anything new? No. You know, I'm worried that this is going to be one of those things where a guy gets fast-tracked based on a couple of flashy performances. And then you're like, oh, this guy really can't survive off the deep end. Or, oh, wait a minute, this guy can't defend against a jab. Yeah. You know, like, I'm wondering what it's going to be, because it's always, always, always something incredibly basic and stupid and laughable. It's always something like that that we're going to be like, oh, okay, that was what was missing. And he's going to get figured out. It's just, I don't want to be so negative about a guy who just got here and put on a hell of a performance. But I don't also, I think we need to have a little bit of perspective. I don't want people to think that this is a bigger thing than what it was. Appreciate it for what it is, but let's not get carried away.
Indeed. Now, let's talk for a brief second about UFC Vegas 88, which is a terrible card. We're not even bothering to pick fights on this card. We just want to point and laugh at it. I will say that there is an upside to this card. I am noticing that Tai Tuivasa has copied Victor and let his curly locks flow. I do dig that look on him. I like seeing all his curlies.
You know, does this have to be a 5-round main event?
It does not.
Number 9 versus number 10 at heavyweight. Does this have to be? Make it a 3-rounder.
Yeah.
You don't have to do this.
Yep, I agree. But here we are. And then here's your co-main event. Brian Battle versus Angalusa. Really?
I mean, they're high on Brian Battle, I guess. I don't know.
All right, under that, Ovince St. Preux against Kennedy and Njukwu.
Mm-hmm.
Itzhak Dulgarian versus Christian Rodriguez. I think it's Christian Rodriguez.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. You get where I'm going with this? I mean,
I hope you enjoyed all that star power from that last pay-per-view, baby, because ain't none of that shit rubbed off on this one.
None.
Not a lick.
Ever.
None.
I mean, I am interested in the one of the ladies' fights. I am interested in Pani Kianzad and Macy Shazon, because Macy Shazon, we know, has had trouble making weight, even at 145. This is at 135. both of these girls are big girls who have at some point not made 135. So I'm interested to see, one, if they're going to make the weight, and two, how that fight pans out. Because Panny's not bad, and Macy Chazon was supposed to be on, you know, an upward trajectory, but she has had some problems. So I'm interested in that. Gerald Meerschaert versus Brian Barberina. I can take it or leave it. I don't care about that fight. I don't care about Natan Levy and Mike Davis. Josiane Nunes and Chelsea Chandler. Nope, don't care about that one either. There's not a lot here. Ode Osborne, though. I like watching that dude fight. Anybody. Because he is just a dynamo. You know, just an action pellet. So I like watching him. I don't know how. Let's see here. What do we know about Jafel Filio?
Well, Jafel is the guy. He had Mokaev in trouble with that deep knee bar.
That's right. And
this is a banger. This is actually like, this could be a really good fight.
This is a good fight then. Okay. Yeah. I'm looking right here. Yes, I see. He got submitted, but it took Mokaev all the way to the third round to get him there.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy appears to be a submission artist. He has a ton of rear nakeds and a few arm triangles as well. I like arm triangles a whole heck of a lot. So yeah, that fight, okay, that can carry. That will hold its salt. How about somebody named Mitch Ramirez taking on Thiago Moises? Who the hell is Mitch Ramirez?
Well, you know what? Good for him for, for making it to the big show finally, you know? I don't know, dude. Shit.
Okay, now I have a...
He's a syndicate guy, so it might be, you know, I haven't seen him fight before, so...
I have a name for you. Why do I have a name for you? Now, this one comes from Cyprus. His name is Charalampos Grigoriou. Charalampos. I love that. Charalampos.
That sounds like, you know...
I need you to hear you say it.
You know, in the 90s, when you'd watch like one of those not very funny sitcoms, but they were popular because they were part of the monoculture, and they had to make fun of some hippie commune, you know, and they were like, yes, welcome to our new colony, Charalampos. and then they bow and they do some weird shit with their hands and a gong goes off and everybody shudders like, where'd that come from? Yeah. Yeah, that's what that reminds me of. I'm not going to make too much fun of the dude's name, man. I mean, you know what? Sure. Whatever. Another bantamweight. Longo Weidman guy, he's probably good. I'm really interested in Jacqueline Amorim taking on Corey McKenna. That looks like it could be pretty
That's
fun.
That's the other one that I like. But yeah. Going back to Charalampos, this is one of those that's coming straight from the Contender Series.
Yep.
He has a loss to someone that's on this card, Christian Rodriguez. That loss was about 3 years ago. In CFFC, I noticed that most of his fights took place in CFFC or something called Combat FC.
Yeah, well, and that's not a bad sign because CFFC, Cage Fury, much like Ring of Combat and CES, it's been one of like the tougher proving grounds for up and coming guys. Wow. So if you come up through there, they don't really do gimme fights. They rarely do guys any favors. It's a pretty tough place to be, especially at bantamweight. So for him to come up through that circuit, you know what? That's in and of itself, just looking at his record, pretty good sign.
Well, the one thing that bothers me, though, is he's 31 years old and just now making it.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting over here. So I don't have a whole lot of upside to him. He's going to be fighting Chad on Heliger. So... And that's another one. Yeah, who? What? So anyways, Corey McKenna, Jacqueline Amorim. That's a great fight. That's a killer fight.
A great, great fight, yeah.
I mean, that could go on a pay-per-view. I like that fight a lot. You got 8-2 Corey McKenna against 7-1 Jacqueline Amorim. I don't know which way I would go on that. I'd have to go and listen to some people and also go and watch a little bit of tape. But I definitely, I think I'm most interested in Panny Kianzad and Macy Chazon and the Ode Osborne Jafel Filio fight. How about you?
Yeah, God damn it. What are we doing here? Sure. I'm Raymond McKenna and Filio versus Osborne. That's really the only thing that's holding my interest right now.
All right. So we're just going to do a couple of brief headlines. The first one is kind of sad. UFC legend Mark Coleman has been hospitalized for smoke inhalation after saving his parents from a house fire. Now, according to MMA Fighting, he was actually airlifted, so that's bad. Victor, what do you make of this?
Yeah, so the story so far is that his dog woke him up in the middle of the night. There was a house fire, and so he grabbed his parents, got them out of the house, but unfortunately he went back for his dog, I believe. And that's where the smoke inhalation is led him to collapse. So they were able to get him out and airlift him. Really hoping he pulls through. It's it's rough. You know, he tried to do the best he could for the people that he loved and the people around him. Much to admire in that. I just really, really hope that he's able to come out the other side, because it's looking pretty bad right now.
Well, our thoughts are with you, Mr. Coleman, and with your family.
Yes.
The other story that bears talking about is 27-year-old Jake Paul taking on 57-year-old Mike Tyson in a boxing match for Netflix. Oh my God, have you no shame, young man? Victor, you lead this one.
You know, I used to work with a guy who was like 60, and he'd always try to arm wrestle and do like push-up competitions. And I'd always say no, because you know what? Let's say I arm wrestle the guy and he ends up dislocating his elbow or something like that. Everyone's going to look at me and be like, look at that asshole. He injured that old man for what? A guy twice his age. What was the purpose? What did he gain from that? And this, I kind of feel a little bit of that same level of ick, you know, because now you're looking at a guy like, why do you want to, other than the name value, like it's enough of a spectacle. And Tyson is in as good a shape possible at his age to make this somewhat intriguing for the casual outside observer to go, wait a minute, what? Really? Is this a thing that's going to happen? It's a nice story, right? The old guy trying to beat back the young, braggadocious young lion. I don't particularly care for it. I really don't. I don't even know what Tyson stands to gain from this. I mean, he had that exhibition against Roy Jones. I don't think he needs money. You know, he seems like he's super stable now. He's got a bunch of other stuff to keep himself occupied, but maybe it's that competitive drive. Maybe he got inspired by seeing what Francis Ngannou was able to do and being in proximity of that, being in orbit of that, thinking, you know what, shit, I could beat this dude who doesn't know shit about boxing. Let's go.
Mike has never been real good with his money, though, has been frequently in tax trouble and has mismanaged a lot. So I would imagine that if he's taking fights like this, it's to cover some tax debt or some other debt that he has incurred throughout his many businesses.
I mean, that's possible, but then maybe he did get his shit together. I don't know.
Yep. It could be anything, but he's definitely doing it. I would have to say that the money's got to be through the roof for this. I mean, it's being put on by Netflix.
And Netflix is paying out the ass for this, so
yeah. So I'm gonna say it was sheerly money.
Yeah, let's see.
Anyways, we are going to jump into the bonus section of the content. So if you are a subscriber, stick around. And if you're not, you know what to do. We are going to talk about the demise of Bloody Elbow, and we have some sumo stomping with Tim Bissell. Yeah. To access the bonus content of this show, you must be a paid subscriber.